Item 1, from the Director, Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services Section, Facilities Management Division, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report responding to audits recommendations regarding residency of contractor employees working on county construction contracts. At our October meeting, a follow-up report was requested. This item is also considered by the Committee on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit. And on December 4th, that committee referred this item to Corporation Council, Audit Services, and Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services to draft an ordinance that formalizes the existing 50% residency goal on county construction projects and develops contract requirements designed to achieve compliance and to report back to that committee for the July 2014 meeting cycle.
Good morning. Let's have you all identify yourself for the record here.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Jerry here, Director of Audits for the Comptroller.
Greg High, Director of Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services.
Paul Bargan, Corporation Counsel.
Okay, who's going to start?
Well, Madam Chair, if I could just kick this off.
Sure.
As you're aware, our office has been engaged in the last 3 years in monitoring the implementation of the contractor residency requirements. When we reported out to you this summer, we got a response back from Mr. High Facilities Management that was very positive and encouraging. He was making substantive progress in implementing this program, but there were a couple of questions that remained open. I think that those have been addressed by Corporation Council. We now understand what we need to do to make this social policy more enforceable, more clear, more concrete. So I think the action that came out of TPW committee was pretty much all we need as your staff to come back with the kind of language that can be adopted by this county so we can move forward and implement the goal. Mr. Bargan answered your three questions, I think, right on point, and I think we have very clear directions to what we need to do as the staff, the people who work here, to help you implement this policy.
Mr. Bargan?
And then we were asked to draft an ordinance rather to update the resolution from 1995 to bring this forward, so we'll be working on that. Supervisor Lipscomb had made the referral.
Mr. High, anything?
Just that we are reaffirming our emphasis on this program, residency, that we're going to be, our area will be working with Audit and Corporation Council to improve the administration of the contracts with regard to this residency goal, and I believe in July we'll be coming back with an ordinance of some type.
Okay, and Mr. High, just for the committees that don't sit on transportation, the members that aren't on transportation, you did give a little information regarding past practice in terms of your department looking at the residency goals in current contracts. You want to just give a synopsis of that?
Sure, Madam Chair, Supervisors. Currently, we have a policy of after the first contract that a contractor fails to meet the 50% residency goal or whatever that goal might have been, it could be less, could be more, we send a letter out to them after the contract is complete informing them that they did not meet the goal, and that upon award to them of a subsequent contract, that reminding them that we would be administrating that same contract compliance goal, and that if they failed again, that there are a number of sanctions to be taken that are available to us. At this point, we have had three or four that have not met the goal a second time, but in each of those three, they were in the upper 40s, close to 50%, and we sent them. We're in the process of formulating a letter. These are just recently developed. I'm developing a letter that we're going to have Corporation Council review, but indicate to them that when they bid the next time on a county project, their past practice or past performance on their previous two contracts, if not meeting the goal, will be taken into account in evaluating the bids, and their how responsible they are in their contract compliance.
Thank you. And Mr. Bargan, I think the other discussion that was part of this was goal versus requirement.
All right, Madam Chair. The goal is something that we can work with. We can, department can pursue. It can use that, especially in evaluating future contracts by past performers. In evaluating who is the lowest responsible bidder, the responsibility aspect can include performance on past contracts. In other words, how well you met the goal for residency, among other performance features. So what I'd said before, and you know, as we discussed at the other committee meeting, the best path forward, I would say at this point, is to have a goal, have an ordinance, and then enforce that by debarment of, from future bidding of contractors who take a contract but then don't live up to their goal or don't at least, you know, come very close. And that would be taken into account as a past practice in evaluating whether they're responsible and deserving of another award. To go ahead and make it a requirement, absolute flat requirement, you know, we withhold money if you don't make it the first time, something like that, then it gets into an issue of trying to show that there's been disparate treatment in the past, which is a complicated process. I think a lot of you are, have, you know, some familiarity with that. We'd have to show that there was disparate treatment that can now be corrected by including a residency goal. It's a much more difficult, a residency requirement. It's a much more difficult standard. And I think at this point, with, you know, pretty good compliance, and I think a lot of encouragement to be even better in compliance in the future, that this would be the way to go.
Committee members? Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Inasmuch as there was a question and answer section from supervisors in this document, I move to receive and place this on file so that every supervisor can receive a copy of this. There's valuable information in here. Some of this information I was not necessarily, did not necessarily know. So I think it's valuable to pass this information.
Madam Clerk, was that placed and received on file in transportation, or they? I think they referred it to Corporation Council for further, but we can certainly, I think, receive and place this on file to get it in the record if that's your request.
Yes.
Just so you know, the Transportation Committee did refer this to legal counsel for the preparation of an ordinance.
Madam Chair.
Please.
I also understand that if we receive and place on file, then the file will go downstairs and be dead. So we've had this issue before, and we've had to call it back on the board floor, I think.
That's our current practice. We can't do both. Yeah, well, concurring with transportation gets this referred to Corp Counsel. Supervisor Johnson is trying to make information part of the record. It's unfortunate that that seems to be the practice. All right, our committee, Supervisor Johnson, I think we will refer this to all the members through our own referral process. I can circulate the information. Apparently, we're getting conflicting information here.
If it has been referred to the Corporation Counsel's office, it'll come back anyway. So I move to concur with the action of the Transportation Committee.
Supervisor Bone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the work of the department and coming up with concrete goals to move forward with contractors. And I think it's also good to note that if they're in the 40s by now, it shows that they're moving forward to really try to hit this goal. My question is there a process of engaging contractors to help them meet the goal even more, or understanding how they are finding their employees to meet the 50% residency goal?
Mr. Hyde.
Madam Chair, supervisors, we currently, if after the first or second payment there's no, and they do have a form that they report on each invoice of how they're doing in achieving that goal. If after one or two invoices it doesn't appear they're making progress, we send out a letter to them saying that They need to respond to us with a plan to meet the goal. How they're doing that. As I said in that previous report that I submitted, some contractors respond very very diligently. Others they don't respond quite as well. It takes multiple contacts sometimes to get a hold of somebody. Therefore, I think what we're planning on doing is reinforcing this issue at the pre-construction meeting, having that discussion right there before they begin work, and then following closely with each invoice to see how they're doing. I review each invoice, and so I'm making a point of it to look at all these forms, and if it looks like there's a problem there, I ask our contract manager to look into it. And so that's one of the things we're doing.
And I know there are a number of construction training programs, including WRTP Big Step, that we partner with the Ready to Work program. Is there any synergy with connecting those job training programs in construction to those contractors?
Madam Chair, Supervisors, we don't currently have a connection with that. We are working with our Community Business Development Office to they're aware of this residency goal, and they've been very helpful, particularly with the certified DBEs that we work with in making the goal clear, and then our communication back and forth about it with various contractors is ongoing.
Got it. Thank you. Continue great work.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To simplify things, I move to refer this item to Corporation Counsel's office as opposed to all other steps. I move to refer this item to Corporation Counsel's office.
Consistent with transportation.
Yes. Along with audit and AE and EES. Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other committee members? Just one follow-up. When you do the RFP process and you do the initial posting, is there a referral to the requirement that there is a residency goal requirement?
Madam Chair, Supervisors, I'll correct you in your terminology. We use the bid process as opposed to an RFP, which is different. And there is a section in the specification. There's mention of it in the instructions to bidders. There is a affidavit that's submitted with the bid that says that they've read the documents and they understand prevailing wage, they understand the residency goal, they understand the DB participation goal. So they have to have that notarized. The assumption is when they go through the legal documents and they submit their bid documents that they have read the documents and are aware of it. And as I say, we're emphasizing that every step of the way with them.
So if you've had a contractor who's had bad record on this, are you required to take the lowest bid, or what is the process at that point?
That's where this concept of the lowest responsible bidder comes in. The financial aspect would certainly be part of the evaluation, but past performance can also be taken into account as part of their responsibility. Just like it would be if, for example, they had totally mishandled a past project. So by viewing the responsible portion of the lowest responsible bidder in that light, it does definitely give an opportunity to take past performance on the residency goal into account. It doesn't have to be the absolute lowest dollar bid.
Right. Okay. So you use that best responsible bid. I appreciate that. Thank you. Any other comments? Otherwise, we do have a motion. Madam Clerk, would you review the motion and then call the roll?
On the motion to refer this item to Corporation Counsel, Audit Services, and AE&ES, Supervisors Bowen.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
There are 6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to refer this item has been approved.
Thank you, everyone. Madam Clerk, please call item 2.